Chapter number 6. Thankful the young people talking about salvation. It's a great blessing. The devil still uses the old tactics. Just like trappers, man. They just keep using the same old stuff over and over and over again. And it works. Oh, I got to be good. Don't I have to be good? Don't I have to do better? Don't I have to... We're in Ephesians chapter number 6. We got through our spiritual warfare passage we were teaching on. We've gotten through verse 17. We've got read verse 18. We're going to read 18 to the end this morning. And our verse 23 will be our text verse this morning. We may look at some other passages, may not. We should just see how the Lord leads this morning. We'll read verse 18, have a word of prayer. The Bible says here, Ephesians 6, verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, we do thank you for your grace to us. Lord, we thank you for each soul that's here today. We pray that you'd work in hearts today. Lord, we pray for our young people downstairs in the junior church that you would work in their hearts, Lord, and thank you for the tenderness of our young people. I ask that you bless them, Lord. We do pray for, Lord, hearts to be worked on today. Fathers, we always need this work, Father, all of us. We ask that you would do that where we need it. And Father, if there be one here today without Christ that has never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ with their life, has never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, please work in the heart today. Show them from your word, Father, not through any other ways, Lord, but through your Spirit, we pray. And we'll surely thank you for it. We love you in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. A lot of times when we go through this passage here and we see that our strength lies in God and the power of His might, verse 10 says, and we put on the armor, we get to 17 and then we get to 18. A lot of times we don't include prayer and watching as some of the things that we do. We don't put on prayer like we would put on some of these other things, but it is very much the same in praying. Praying is a mental thing. Right, you got to think to pray. I mean, you got to think, man, I need to pray. To train yourself to do that is huge. I've never been in the military, never gone, but I know plenty that have. Good friends, right? Young people that I've had in youth group, right? And you just think, like, they're going to the military. It's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, right? They're going to come out. And they're different, man. They've been changed. They've been changed, man. This is awesome, you know? One young man, he's a fine young man now. He's doing great, but man, I used to just ride him. And he said, man, I gotta go blow my nose. I said, your nose is gonna fall off. You blow your nose so much. I said, you know how much each one of these nose breaks cost your parents in Christian school tuition? I said, let's calculate this really quick. If you spend five, I just tease him. Like, come on, man, you gotta come back, and they've been changed, right? It's like stuff is a mindset. They changed the way he thought. Somehow they got to him, right? I think it happens a lot in military. They get to you, right? And it changes the way you think. Changes the way you look. Changes your appearance. I mean, it changes you, right? That's awesome. You look at young people, you're like, wow. And they kind of predictable, right? You're behind tight and standing up tall and straight and sound like, wonderful. This is great. In Christianity, when we trust Christ as Savior, and we kind of... Forgive me if this doesn't make the Lord look good, but there's a lot of there's Christians that treat Jesus like a roommate that doesn't pay rent. They treat him like, they're like, ah, you know, he's just a guy. He's just here, there. He's in and out. You know. Now, he's the landlord. He owns everything. Okay? He owns everything. And if you pretend like he doesn't make changes, you're a rude awakening, right? He makes changes, and he uses his Spirit. Good changes. Make things for the better, right? We fight him and we're like, ah, I'm just trying to get you to get rid of your junk that's weighing you down emotionally and spiritually and just got you bogged down. He's got a job for you to do, right? And the military get in there and say, you know, we got a job for you to do. Oh, you just want to do whatever you want? Oh, that's great. We'll just stay the same. No, it doesn't work that way, right? Because you go out there, there's a job to do and there's a way to think and there's a thing that needs to get done. Same thing in the Lord's work. It's the same thing in the Lord's work. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. If we're not ready to pray, are we ready? I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to call upon God and ask God for help in this thing. Oh, there's got to be a better way. We got to figure this thing out. We just got... No. You got to be able to pray. When we pray, We put the enemy on the run. Definitely on notice anyway, right? Oh man, they're praying. Because now we're not relying on our own resources. The Bible says the enemies that we fight, the prince of power of the air, the principalities, we don't see them. We see them working. Fighting bad spirits. It's hard. It's tough. We talked about it Wednesday. I thank God for our service Wednesday night. It was a blessing. Man, I was tired, but it was a good tired. I went home and I was like, man, that was good. We'll do that again. But that was tired. That we sang a lot. We did sing a lot. I told somebody, I was like, you go to a real song service, right? There's no preachers. They're like, oh, we just sing some more. Really? It's really what you want? I said, it's a workout, right? You know, that, I don't know if I want to give a request or whatever, or sing it. It was wonderful. It was great. Got to do those things. Right, because we're fighting a spirit of unthankfulness that just kind of creeps in. Get complainers. Are complainers ever thankful? No, they always complain, right? You got to fight that. It's like, I don't want complainers. We need to make sure we're thankful. That's the way to do it. You can't just kill all the complainers. That's not what God says. We'll just wipe them all out, and then they need to get the spirit's gone. The spirit stays because it was here before they were here, and it continues. And so we got to have a changed heart. We got to do those things. There's a mindset, and God changes us. And when we put on the mind of a soldier, we put on the mind of a warrior in these things, it changes how we think. We hear a bad report. We hear this. We need to pray. Got to pray. I mean, oftentimes the ambulance goes by. We'll stop and let's say a word. Let's pray. Why? We don't know what's going on, but it's the time to do it, right? The alarm's been sounded. Let us pray. But we do the one call. It's time. Hey, we need to pray. Let's pray for this. Do we pray for hours, preacher? Do we pray 50 times a day? Do we pray like David, morning, night, and noon? And how do we do it? When God puts it on you to think of somebody, you pray for them. Pray for them. That's how that works. Like, I wasn't even thinking about them. Huh, how about that? God was. And pray for them. Pray for them. How many of us are picking up on that in life? Yeah. I mean, again, you don't get that. The day you get saved, it's not like you've been programmed to do this, 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 and this. You learn to pray. You learn to pray by praying. It's hard. Praying's hard, man. I remember we're in Pasco, and Pastor, he decided, he's like, man, we're going to start doing all-night prayer meetings. One time a year. And then all-night meant like from 10 at night to whatever it was, 4 in the morning, whatever. It was long enough to be all-night. Man, all right, let's do this. You're like, never done it before. What's it like? It is wearisome to the flesh. I'll say that, right? But we prayed. It was good. I mean, there was some good things that came out of it. But people learned to pray, started noon prayer meetings. It's like, man, we need to pray, have noon prayer meetings. All right, we're going to have noon prayer meetings. So I would, again, wearisome to the flesh, right? I would teach. But I didn't have like prep periods or whatever. You know, you just taught and taught some more and taught some more. And I had every class filled, and the ones I didn't, I would get up at, I'd be at the church at 5 in the morning at whatever day of the week to do my radio broadcast. And because I was teaching class when it was getting sent out, you know, I think 10 in the morning I had whatever class. I was tired, man. You get in and pray. I mean, they're praying one day, you know, and time turned into more time, and, you know, and I was sleeping. Fell asleep praying. My students come and find me. Pastor Garner, do we have that test in pre-calc today? Yeah. Wait, what time is it? No. Not today. Oh, right. They're fall asleep praying. It's hard to do. I find for myself that it's time to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray and then see what God's going to do. May not be long, but you need to pray. You need to pray. Turn that car on. Pray. Pray. Pray where you're going. Pray over things. We hear people say bathing things in prayer. When I paint tackle, I got to get it hot and I paint it. Man, I drop that thing in there so it's all covered up in it. And you cover things up in prayer. Sometimes you'll pray over things and God give you direction because you start praying for it. You think you need something, and you pray and you spend that time thinking, and you're like, God's like, you know what? And you're like, yeah, I know. I don't really need that. Or I didn't really think that this should go this way or that we should do this thing. And it all comes from prayer. Not from, well, I just had a great thought. And no, it came from time in prayer. So it says praying always. It just means about all these things. We have so many things, right? There's so many things that go on in life, so many decisions we got to make. You got children, you got more than one children's. That's a lot of decisions, right? And you're trying to help them and you're trying to like, I don't know, it's a lot of decisions, right? Just in my own house, it's like, man, that's a lot of choices, right? could either hire Moses and Methuselah and all these guys to come help me, or I got to pray and ask God and believe. I believe He saved my soul. I believe He can help me with my kids. I believe He can help me with the things in my life. So it says praying always. Praying always. The Bible says with all prayer. It means asking with all asking. Okay? That means praying when I ask. I'm going to ask. One of the, you can take praying. It said, I pray thee. Right? The Bible talks to use language like that. I pray thee. It means I'm asking you. Would you consider this? Whatever it is. I pray you. Would you go with me? I'm asking you. Would you go with me? But we have to ask. The Bible says in supplication, in the Spirit. Okay? To pray in the Spirit, you get all kinds of goofy ideas of what this means. You're praying and God's will is being done. We talked about this, I think it was in adult Sunday school class a couple weeks ago, and Ms. Garner wasn't here, that Romans 8 tells us we know not what we, how to pray as we ought, the Bible says in Romans 8. So we pray, and the Holy Spirit will help direct those prayers into what they should be. So when we go into prayer, we do not want to be God. We don't give God ultimatums in prayer. You can do that. See how that feels. I told God, yeah, you bet you did. Right? Spoke the world into existence. Give me a break. Don't tell God. God, you got to do it now. No, He does not have to do it now. He can do it when He wants to. God, you can do it whenever you want. Now, that's sounding better now, okay? And God, I love you. Oh, good. I haven't heard that in a while. And God, I really care about you. Oh, good. What a wonderful. And God, I don't even care about anything else, but I just care about you. There you go. Now you got it. Quit demanding stuff of me. Right? Like I'm you. God loves us. The Bible tells us in Matthew that the Father knows what we have need of. He knows. So when we pray, the Bible says, supplications. Man, we need to do it in the Spirit. Do you think the Spirit ever talked to God and just, well, you need to better start doing this? You better start holding up your end of the deal. No. No. Get your spirit right and pray. Humble yourself for God. Sometimes then you gotta pray before you start praying. God help me, I'm a mess. You know? Right? I mean, you go to your parents and ask for $20. It better not be right after a fight. You'd be lucky to get 20 cents, you know? It's like. And the other thing is pray often and keep your communication open with God. It's easier to pray. It's so much easier when you pray often. When you pray, say, I pray often, but I may not pray for a super long time. But when I pray often, it's easy. I talk to Him. Well, we go talk to Him. Man, I haven't talked to Him in a while. Something in there. And last time I talked to Him, it didn't go so well. You better not talk to Him now. Yeah, I'm going to hold off. No, that's not good. Okay? We need to talk to God. We need to talk to anybody. It's God. And we need to ask of Him as part of the warrior's resource here listed in the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then the Bible says in verse number 18, it says praying always, and then it says after the comma, after the word Spirit, says and watching. I'm praying always, and I'm watching. I'm watching. We've prayed. Dr. Dennis Corll, he's an evangelist, travels, and I took some classes from him. I listened to him preach a number of times. He would say prayer in relationship to war is the carpet bombing air attack that comes in first, where you send in all the ground troops. He said, you got to pray. Send in the bombs and blow everything up, and then send your guys. You don't want to send your guys in against full strength. You want to pray first. And when you pray, you're asking, right? And then what? Then what do you do? Well, I did that part. Now it's God's part. Now I got to go figure out how to get it done. No, it is time to watch and see what's going to happen. And you're watching, and you're expecting something to happen, right? Now, the disciples fell asleep, and the idea was, he says, we're going to go into the garden and pray for an hour, okay? Maybe that's praying, speaking for a whole hour. Maybe that's listening to God. Part of prayer is listening. It's not all talking, right? God has a lot to say, and He wants to press upon your heart. The Bible says, we talked about Sunday school this morning, a still small voice. Right? If He speaks to us in a still small voice, then God would hear a still small voice. The answer is yes, right? And so I'm not saying a whole lot, but I'm thinking, Lord, you gotta, I don't know how this is gonna work, or Lord, you know how this is gonna work. That's the difference in the confidence in God. And one, that your mind's not made up yet that God can. God, I don't know how. right? Red Sea's there. And Egyptians are at your back in your life. God, I don't know how. You remember how the Red Sea went, right? One stick and an old man, right? I mean, a lot of people gave up. I don't know how this is going to happen. You brought us out here to die on this rock. He said, hold that stick up, right? And physics was disobeyed, right? All laws of science broken, all these things, because God said, okay? So in your mind, you don't have to explain to God how you think the Red Sea parted. You just say, God, I know you did it. God, I know you've done this. And you call upon God's record. And when you call upon God's record, does it not help your faith? It's like, man, God, you've done so much. God, this is really small potatoes. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm worried about this thing. I shouldn't be. I shouldn't. This is small stuff compared to what you do. Then you watch. Holds up the rod. They all pass on. I had to wait, watch, right? I mean, imagine moving that many people. So it wasn't like, bam-o. We had to pray and got to watch. How long do I got to watch for? How bad do you want this thing to take place that you want to take place? It takes a while. Well, we all went to college to play football. You go in as a freshman, you're whatever, and you go there and you look at all these guys that are huge and bubbly and muscly and huge, and you're like, man, I want to look like that guy. I want to be like that guy. You know, it doesn't happen like that. You gotta get after it. It's a process. I want to pray. I want to see this thing happen. Yep, but we gotta watch too. We gotta watch. And we can't lose faith in God during the watching time. It's not working. Let God work. If we could just see, and there's only one, we won't turn to it today, but in Daniel there was prayer made. There was supplication made. And the one that was bringing the answer was held up by the prince of Persia. You can't see the spiritual battle that goes on. Sometimes if you but knew that when you asked of God something and it was already on your way and Satan didn't want you to have it and there was a battle going on and the answer wasn't coming and you're thinking God's sleeping somewhere and really what's going on is there's a spiritual battle going on that you can't see and he's trying to get it there and you think, it was God, what's up? I was like, I don't understand. It's the watching time. Don't lose faith in this watching time. You have all these resources. All these pieces of armor that we've covered in past messages here, and we're going to give up during the watching time. No, we need to continue. It says, thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to pray for them. Folks in Seward are sick right now. Mercy. Kenai too. It's kind of hitting everybody, right? Praise God, we didn't have that either. They don't have it anyways. I'm just so like... Every preacher I've considered for couples retreats, everybody has got the vid, so it's like, man alive, what do I do? I say, be determined later, right? You just don't know. I don't know. Well, what do we do for them? Got to pray. I don't got the vaccine. I don't know if they'd want it if I had it. But I can pray for them, right? I can. That's what we did this morning. We just prayed. Said, Lord, there are a bunch of sick folk down there. They need your help. What do? You just pray for them. Well, it seems so, it's huge. You've called on all the resources of heaven to help those people over there, God's children. It's a huge thing. Don't ever think that praying is not a huge thing. It is. And watching is a huge thing. The Bible says in verse number 19, after he says, supplication for all saints, it says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Paul asked for prayer. He said, pray for me. We go to the book of Acts and look at last time he left Ephesus, man. It's just sad, 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 right? Everybody, they're crying. And Paul's telling them to knock it off. Stop crying. You know, we're never going to see you again. Yes, you will. Right? Yes, you will. Right? And goodbyes are hard. They're tough. But hey, let's think about it in the big picture. Right? When somebody dies in the Lord, is that the last time we're ever going to see him? No. Right? We got to get that. It's graduation day. It's hard, right? I've hurt people at funeral time. But man, it's graduation day if somebody's in the Lord. I mean, it is exciting time, right? And I'm not going to say you shout and run around a funeral, but man, it'd be a lot of smiles at a funeral. A lot of tears, right? There's that. It's hard, right? We're emotional people. God built us the way we are. But they've been promoted. We will see them again. The Bible says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. You only have so many opportunities to do this. You only have one life to give for God. Don't use your mouth for gossip. Use it for truth. Use it for the gospel. To make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm going to reveal to them Christ. I'm going to speak life to them. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. I can bring life by speaking life to somebody. Words like, don't give up. Words like, God loves you. Words like, don't quit. I've been using that stuff a lot in this last year. Yeah, because you tell people, yeah, keep it up. Hey, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. They may be doing a terrible job, okay? But you got to encourage people. You have to. You got to do it. Exhort, encourage them. Hey, you're doing all right. You can do this. No, I can't. I know you can't, but you can, right? You got to convince them. You got to make them believe. We used to do squats. I love doing squats. And I'd get on and do the squat rack. And I had to tell myself, we have to lift this. Did I want to do it all the time? No. No. But I had to do it, right? And sometimes you yelled and hollered and did all kinds of crazy things. But then it happened. It came out. And inside it's like, I'm going to do this. It's going to happen. I had to tell myself. Anybody else said, oh, you're really going to do this? Like, you're going to really do this, right? No. No doubt. And God can do it. God didn't quit. I'm not going to quit. God doesn't give up. I'm not going to give up. Right? We hang our hat on somebody else and they go down. Then what happens? Right? It's tough. Right? We can look to people we're following, but man, they get sniped or something happens to them. We're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I was all my chips were on this guy. And now he's gone. Or a preacher, whatever. Now he's out of the ministry. What do I do? I'm just kind of floating around because that was my guy. You know, Jesus Christ needs to be the one you follow. Always, always, always. Always. Because he's not going to change. He's always going to be there no matter whether you're here or there, wherever you go. He's going to be there. And the Bible says, Paul says, I just want prayer that I could utter these things boldly to people. Well, you know, there's a... Jesus, and he's pretty good, you know. Boldly. No, what you really need is the Lord. You need the Lord. Man, I needed the Lord. He's the only thing that's made a difference in my life. The Lord is, I mean, and it's the boldness. You get all these things from God. Don't say, well, I wasn't born a preacher, so I'm not going to speak boldly, and I got to have it. No, God gives you some of the most bold people I've ever seen are late. Little kids. Wow. But wow. That's awesome. Where did that come? He's got a message, right? And he said, I want it spoken. Use your mouth for God. Paul said, I want to use my mouth for God to speak the mystery of the gospel. You tell somebody about Christ, they said, I've never heard that before. It was a mystery to them, right? They didn't know about it. They didn't know what was going on. And guess what? Man, the devil wants the message to be changed. He wants the message to be confusing. And people look at church today and they're like, I don't want anything. This whole year has really, it has really helped some people say, you know what, I want to be in church. I want to be on purpose, even if we're not supposed to be. Even if it's wrong, I want to do it. And I'm with you. I said, that's good. Versus, well, let's just all go. And it's like, oh, we can't have church. Yeah, I can't go. Won't let us, you know. It's not safe to have church, you know. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sort yourselves out. Just sort yourselves out, you know. Just sort them out. And they have been. It's been clear in our country. It really has been. There are some groups that are, yeah, I wish we could have church. We can't even sing. Who told you can't sing? God said he put a new song in your heart. You can't sing. We're all going to, you know. And you got to figure out somewhere inside of you, Lord, it's you and me. Or, well, I don't know. I think I can trust him. Right? Boldly. Hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what he already knows. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know the Lord's already, he knows what's there, and I'm going with him. So it's like, all right, we're good. What if you get in trouble? What is trouble? You know, right? What is trouble? Well, be kind. Be kind. I'm ready to testify. I want my day in front of the whoever's. I'd say, you don't understand what it means to separate and take people. One of the devil's number one tactics is separation and isolation. Yep. Weed them out. Weed them out. The lion just getting them off by themselves. Got no help. And the herd says, hooray, it wasn't me this time. Right? And then crunch, crunch, and it's all over with, right? Separated. You watch the musk oxen, right? It's how Christians should really be, right? You put the weak ones in the middle, and you make a circle, and everybody sticks their hind ends in the middle, and you got your heads out with all your headgear, and say, bring it on. That's how it should be. But the herd's like, don't get me, get heavy, slower, oh, right? You know? It's been destined, it's his fate. Whatever. Okay. No. We need to stand. We need to do it boldly. And I know people have gained boldness this year. I praise God for it. Verse 20. He says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly. Boldly in his bonds? Oh, yes. There are a lot of people got saved when Paul went to prison. It's crazy to think about. A lot of people. Now, when I was preaching in prison, I would think, man, this wouldn't be that bad. These guys eat really good. I'm just saying. They do, preacher. I was blown away. I was like, how often do you guys eat salmon? It was unbelievable. And then I had to figure out where the salmon came from, you know, because the fish side of me is like, guess if we got locked up for preaching. I mean, this is back when I started Institute in Canada, preaching against homosexuality was hate speech. And so they can't. I mean, they're most of them don't. But that's why Canada's this. I mean, look at their prime minister, whatever his title is. Chancellor, I don't know what is the prime minister. Okay? The guy is, he needs something. He's kind of limp. He's kind of wimpy. That's an awesome country. Why are you like the way you are? We're just going with the world. The Bible says, which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Even in bonds. Now, you could take that as literal bonds, which you would have, or he said, man, I am a bond slave to the Lord Jesus. I'm here to serve him. I'm here to bring his message. You could look at it that way as well. But either way, you're speaking his message. You're doing it boldly. Verse 21, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Right? Paul's getting ready to leave. But he's not going to leave him without a teacher, right? So he's got Tychicus. There was different guys that came and helped teach. And Tychicus was going to, I love the name. Kind of hard to say a little bit, but it's an interesting spelling. I haven't run into any in this life, but I'm sure there's one out there somewhere, right? Tychicus, he's going to teach the Ephesians what? Same thing Paul was teaching them. They need to trust Christ. They need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's the same thing that he taught Timothy. It's the same thing, right? Paul's getting old. Paul's going to die. Paul is leaving them a teacher. Now, hey, the whole future, the whole everything doesn't rest upon Tychicus. It rests upon all the people of Ephesus. They're going to trust Jesus Christ and make him their number one. Okay? Well, what if Tychicus leaves us? Then the church? No. Okay? No. To the man, to the woman, to the individual, that relationship with God. That church will be strong if they're each strong individually. So it's not on just one person, but he tells them here to comfort them that somebody's coming to help. The Bible says, verse 22, almost done, whom I have set unto you for the same purpose. Right? To continue. We need to continue the same purpose. That you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Wonder what he's going to use to do that. Right? Do some heart comforting every day. Read the Word of God. Okay? That's the comfort. Without this Bible, we'd be a mess. Unbelievable. It would be a mess. I read an article, maybe some of you read the article, a lady in Canada, she opted for assisted suicide because she didn't want to go through another lockdown. 90 years old. You can do that in socialist medicine countries. Yeah, I'd rather die. Okay, we'll help you. Comfort yourself. I mean, I'm not 90, and I just, you know enough older people, know that everything hurts all the time. But still, let's go! Let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ and let's go. Comfort your hearts in the Word of God. Our text verse this morning. Peace be to the brethren. Peace be to the brethren. This has been a very peaceful year. It's been a lot of ups and downs and goofiness and craziness. Right? But the Prince of Peace. There he is over there. We got our names of God's banners. Anyways, the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's our Savior, but you're not a peaceful subject. Your heart is like the sea, just troubled water. No, no. The Bible says, peace be to the brethren. And this is why it says, and love with faith from God. Comes from God. The peace comes from God. The love comes from God. The faith comes from God. That should comfort our hearts, people. Peace be to the brethren. What's going to happen? Hey, he's saying peace be to the brethren. Don't worry, Ephesus. Okay? Don't worry, Chugach. Don't worry, Wasilla. Don't worry, Palmer. Don't worry, Church in Anchorage. Don't worry. Peace be to the brethren. The Lord's in control of these things. You say, troubled times? I look at it, I say exciting times, right? You never know what's going to happen. Every day's been different. And there's nothing, I've learned this, is we got to trust, because you just can't say, well, we're going to go do, well, no, changing that. Keep that schedule fluid, right? You can still try to make one, just make it real faint pencil. Amen? You have to get rid of your pens and your Sharpie. Real faint pencil with a good eraser. I'm going to have to change. The Lord knows. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what we need. In verse 24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. There are a lot of people finding out this year, do I love the Lord? Or is he my roommate that don't pay rent? Right? I mean, there's people, they think some crazy stuff. They expect nothing of God. They're like, nah. You know? It's just like witnessing to people in third world countries. And you don't. Oh, there's 50 people got saved. I preached a message. Okay. They turn their back on all their false gods. Oh, no. They just took Jesus and added them to all the rest of them. That's the same thing, right? No. He says he's pretty jealous. It says his glory he won't give to another. What do you think? Well, I just was going because I thought if I did that, I would look good. I'd be a missionary. Missionary's hard. You got to take a message. You got to work yourself out of a job, and you got to help people understand that what they have known their whole lives is not right spiritually. If they're believing the false doctrine. The devil wants them separated. We talked about isolation. He wants them separated from God forever. And I got to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. These in front of all of them. Direct objects means he's the only one. It's kind of rude, Brother Keith. Tell them that Jesus is the only way. I mean, isn't there other ways? No, there's not. You got to speak that boldly. So there's no other way. There's no other way. Line them up. They're all dead. Let him up! What has he done for you today? The Bible says, this one here has made all things by his mouth. He's the sustainer of all life. So a lot of times you got to start from the beginning, show them that he made everything, and that their God just falls into this little gap here. He doesn't sit over all. Gives me great peace. I read the Word of God and I said, man alive, thank you for the Word of God. Gives me great peace is praying. Then God, you know all things. Is that not untrue? That's a true statement. God, you know all things. And then getting to watch and see things happen. I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited for preacher boys to watch and to listen and to see. If the Lord tarries 20 years from now, who knows what God's going to do? But this time has definitely been a time for growth and to help us decide, do I love the Lord Jesus? The Bible says, with sincerity. Or to see if we don't even know the Lord. I've been told about the Lord. I've never entered into a relationship with Him. The Bible says that we pray, we acknowledge our sin to God, and we ask to receive Christ as our personal Savior. You do that with the heart. You open your mouth. You start this relationship with Him. How can I be one of His subjects if I have no relationship with Him? The Bible says that Christ came to divide. He didn't. And then when you look at the world and the worldview of a lot of people, and then, well, we've got to make the world's all got to come together and everything's got to be. When you hear people saying one this, one that, that's not Jesus, people. That is not the God of the Bible. Jesus is here. Jesus is split groups wide open everywhere he went. We want Jesus. We want him to feast. Throw him off a cliff. We want Jesus. We want him to get out of our town. We want Jesus. Put him on the hill. I mean, There's no, oh, peace. No. There's no oneness. There's no one. We got to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. He is the one. He is the one that gives us peace. Let's stand this morning. We'll sing our song of invitation. Number 261 is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. 261 this morning. We'll sing, the altar's open. If you're in here this morning, you said, Brother Keith, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I need to know more about this. Would you come? Would you come and ask that we could show to you this need? 261 this morning.